still excited about this woman with the issue of blood. As you know, so much meat in every Bible story, every Bible fact, every Bible occurrence. You know, the longer I serve the Lord, I'm amazed at how much I really do not know about God, and how much I find out more and more the far-reaching knowledge of God, the far-reaching wisdom of God. And as God allows me to dig out certain truths myself, I think about the other Christians all around the world that are digging out things that I still haven't seen yet, but yet are still true to the Bible and still exactly what God would have us to know. Now, Mark chapter 5 tonight, beginning verse 24, again, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." Verse 33 is where we get the thought for the message. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. So that's the message tonight, knowing what was done in her. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. Please, Father, let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing. Again, just a marvelous, marvelous story. How a woman went from a hopeless situation to a situation of hope. And what she does, and as, you know, I'm always thinking, you know, when people know, when somebody knows something, you cannot convince them otherwise. Like, my name is Reiner Leonardo Harper, and I know that. And you can walk up to me and look to me and say, "Hey man, your name is Chuck." I wouldn't believe you, because I know what my name is. I base my life on knowing and exactly what my name is. And there are certain other things that I know. I know who my mother and my father are. I know the city I was born in. I know what the sun is. I could go any given day. If I look up in the sun and somebody says, "That's the planet Mars," I'm going to say no. And I can take a clear stand. I can take a confident stand, because there are certain things that I know. And I know, based on the authority of the Word of God, that God is real. That God is the creator of heaven and earth. And no one can convince me otherwise, because I know what the Bible says, and I believe God. And this woman here, knowing what was done in her, she's going to do some things that will help us tonight if we really pay attention to the Scriptures, that will help us to really, number one, examine ourselves. Number one is, first of all, has anything been done in you? Do you know what's been done in you? And if there's something, you'll find, if you know what's been done in you, that will be a foundation for other things, ways God can use you. Number one, first thing you'll notice, number one, she responded to the Word of God. She responded to the Word of God. Because it says here, now Jesus, now this is an amazing situation. I'm simple, I know you've heard this story before, but to me, every time I read it, this is exciting. This woman's in the crowd. She has this issue of blood. 12 years she's had this condition. The most knowledgeable, the wisest people, the doctors, the physicians that tried to help her, everything she's tried to do, it just would not work. She spent all the money that she had, every way she could possibly avail herself to get help for herself, did not work. But she simply hears about Jesus Christ. And thank you, heard about his power, heard he was present, heard he was available, and something inside of her says that, you know what, I know that every single thing I've tried has failed. But Jesus can help me. And not just help me in any particular way. I don't have to talk to Him. I don't necessarily even have to look at Him. I don't have to hear Him say, you're healed. I don't have to do anything. I just simply have to get to where He's at. And if I just but touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. And she reaches out. There's multitudes of people. The Bible says thronging. And that means there's people all around grabbing for Christ, touching Christ, even trying to be near Him to hear what He's saying as far as the words of God. And somehow, some way, she comes up behind the press. And again, doesn't care if Jesus even knows who she is. Doesn't care if Jesus knows her name. Not looking for an audience, but if I can just touch something that has touched Him, I'll be alright, amen. So she reaches down, touches Him with His garment, and all the multitude of the people, the crowds are thronging Him, and all of a sudden, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stops and looks at the crowd and says, "Who touched me?" I mean, and the disciples, you know, now, the Bible says later they took knowledge they'd been with Jesus, so they weren't really ignorant people, but they were totally dumbfounded by this question. Now, all these people around, and it never dawned upon them that someone had touched Jesus. Jesus immediately perceived that virtue went out, and all the multitudes of people were touching Him, thronging Him, and He calls out to the crowd, and He says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, see right in the verse, in verse 31, and the disciples said unto Him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Almost as if this is a very ridiculous question. I mean, what are you saying to touch you? They're saying, everybody's touching you. But no, one person in the midst of the crowd heard the word of God because she knew what had been done in her. Because she knew. She knew exactly. The disciples, the people that walk with God, they think that the Savior's question is unreasonable. And they're thinking, who could He possibly be talking to? But there's a person in that crowd, in the midst of everything going on, that knows the voice of the Lord, amen? That knew who God was talking to. And because of what was done in her, and no matter what was going on with everybody else, it was not some blank, she knew it was not some blanket question that He threw toward the crowd. She knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that He was speaking to her. And notice how she responded in verse 33. The woman fearing and trembling. She had an awesome respect for God speaking to her. Well, he's talking to me. and here, and can you imagine? I wonder how loud the disciples' voice would they voice. Because picture this. Here the disciples saying, the multitude is wrong with thee. And thou sayest, who touched thee? And she, and if she heard what they said, but she knows something they don't know. She knows what's been done inside of her, and it doesn't matter what the disciples think. She knows that he's talking to me. And she's fearful and trembling, wondering, should she respond to the voice of God? But she could not help it because of what was done in her. Didn't matter what anybody else was doing. She knew that day that he was talking to her. Hold your place here. Turn to John chapter 10. This is a very encouraging passage because we live in a day where people say that, you know, how can I know God's will? How can I know what God is talking about? God still speaks to His children. God still gives direction to His children. And when you know what's been done in you, you hear God's voice and you recognize God's voice. And even, you know what's amazing? You know, sometimes I listen to the radio and I listen to preaching and I hear a message by somebody say something and I'm thinking this message is broadcast over millions of people at any given moment, and I'll be sitting in my car, and I know exactly who God is talking to. I know exactly. I mean, and I think, I don't know if anybody else heard anything. I don't know if He's talking to anybody else, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He was speaking to me because of what was done in me. January 20th, 1993. John chapter 10, verse 27. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." God's sheep hear His voice. And here was one of God's people who was touched by the powerful hand of God. And she heard His voice. She responded to the word of God. 1 John, toward the very end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We'll be back in the book of Mark in just a moment. First John chapter 2. Notice what the Bible said in verse 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. It's not, he's referring to the anointing of the Holy Spirit that the person receives when they're born again. And ye need not that any man teach you. The anointing is a setting apart. When David was king, they anointed him with oil, consecrated him unto the position that God had called him unto. When you're saved by the grace of God, you're anointed with the Holy Spirit of God, consecrating you unto God as a child of God, as a son of God forever. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Now, when I was newer in the ministry, that verse used to make me afraid. Because, well, if I tell people that verse, you know, they're never going to take any counsel away from anything. But you know what? You know, this would be the most powerful church that would ever exist if every single person honestly, literally, really listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Because everything they would do would be in agreement with the Word of God, but beginning with me, down to everybody else. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. The point I'm trying to emphasize here is that this woman knew what was done in her. Jesus is telling us here, but when you're saved by the grace of God, you know what's done to you. And you don't really need anybody to teach you, because the Holy Spirit will reveal things unto you. Now guess what? The Holy Spirit will point you to certain people. That's why He wrote the words of God in the church, not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. But you know what? As far as your daily living, the things you do for God, you don't need somebody to watch over you every single minute to tell you do this or do that. The Holy Spirit of God can do that. And you can hear the voice of God to direct your day, to direct your hour, to direct your months, to direct your years. And when you know what's been done in you, when the voice of God speaks, you will respond. Because my sheep hear my voice. Now, you can choose to reject it, you can choose to deny it. Hey, even a lost person, the day you get saved, even some of the days you still reject Christ, you know that God is speaking to you. And you know, because God is calling in Himself, and you know something happened inside because you were comfortable before, and all of a sudden, that day you heard that preach, you were uncomfortable. Something was done in you, and even you may not want the message of God, you know it was for you, amen. In the midst of a crowd of people, and thank God for the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But He says here, that anointing, you don't need anybody to teach you. I remember Pastor Tony Smith, when I was praying about where to train for the ministry, because I was told I need to go to a Bible college and you have to, you know, get a degree and go through the system. He showed me that verse. He said, this is all you need if God's called you to preach. He said, the anointing. Now, he wasn't in any point. He was in the beginning of your verse, how the Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And he said, you're not going to, some accreditation or some degree by man is not going to help you to do the work or the will of God. It's the things that God teaches you. The thing that God shows you. Because honestly, if you're a faithful Christian, the only thing you're really going to believe and do by faith is what you hear from God anyway. Because if you hear from me, you may try for a while, you may test it for a while, but until it becomes part of you because you heard it from God, you will not be faithful to it. You, like I said, you'll do it for a while, but faithfulness is something that endures to the end. You know, doesn't say that John chapter 8, but you and my disciples, talk about you and my disciples indeed, if my word abides in you or something. There's a verse that says if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Yeah, John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Something about the truth that really makes you free. You know what that means in any situation? You know, the truth, the things you hear from God, you know, if I trust in the promise of God while everything is going great and rosy, then I'm liberated, I'm free. But guess what? When the trouble starts to fall and there's chaos going all around me, when I know what's been done in me and I hear the voice of God, I can be walking through the most difficult situations in life and I'm free. I can relax. I don't have to worry about it. I know what I've heard from God, and because I heard it from Him through the anointing, then it's good. All's good. Hey, we talked about it a few weeks ago. Hey, the Hebrew children, they knew. They believed God. They knew they were only supposed to serve one God. And in the midst of the fire, they were not fearful. They were free. They were free before they ever stepped in there. Everybody else would have been, we're in trouble, man. This Christian life isn't working out. The king's mad at us. What are we going to do? Can you imagine it before they come before the king? Oh, man. Shadrach, I told you we should have just bowed down. What's one day going to hurt, man? We can just bow down the day while they watch. We can go hide. They said, no, we won't do it. And they were free. They could go before the king. And they could talk to him. We are not careful to answer me in this matter. Talk about free in Christ. Amen. Bold by the grace of God. Bound. Thrown in the fire. And then they start walking with Jesus. Amen. God's good. Number two, go back to the text of Mark chapter 5. So she responded to the word of God because she knew what was done in her. Number two, she humbled herself before God. She humbled herself before God. Notice in verse 33, she said, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. She humbled herself at his feet. I know he's talking to me. I'm not sure what he wants, but she just came and humbled herself before God because she knew what was done in her. Turn to 2 Samuel. Hold your place here. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. We see David here, and he spends time with the Lord. And in fact, he's just going to hear a word from the Lord. And what he's going to say here is right after his desire to build a house of God is rejected. But notice his response here. In verse 18, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 7, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. Then went David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, notice this, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hither to? He said, he knew what God had done in him and with him. He said, Lord, who am I? And he wanted to build a house of God, and God dealt with him and said, I never asked you to build me at any time a house of cedar. And he said, who am I that thou hast brought me? See, he knew what God had done with his life. And because he knew what God had done with him, his response was humility. Who am I? Just again, this woman. She didn't have to see Jesus. She didn't have to hear the voice. She just simply, if I just touch what he touched, there's power in Christ. Notice what he says next. The statement of humility. And verse 19, this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the manner of man, O Lord God. And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. He said, Lord, all these things you dealt with me has been for your word's sake. Wherefore, thou art great, O Lord God. There is none like thee. Now, God just told him, you can't have your way. You cannot build that house for me. And listen, respond. Even though there's one thing he couldn't do, he still knew what was done in him, and he magnified and glorified God. He was humbled in the presence of the Lord. Because remember, we started, it said, and David went in and sat before the Lord. Verse 22 again. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel? He said, Lord, the people that are your people, what's like them? I wish God's people would get that. I mean, think, if God's people really understood what David was saying here, I mean, there's a value in being God's people. He said, what's like thy people? What is like that people? And children of God have an identity crisis, struggle all types of things, and long for other things. But David said here, Lord, who's like your people? He said, there's nobody like your people. He's humbled by this. And he goes, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself. You know what God's trying to save you tonight? He's trying to bring you to himself. That's pretty powerful. That love would bring you to God. His love, remember, would want to bring you to Himself. And he said, and to redeem for a people to Himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible. God's looking to do something for you tonight. God was looking to do something for that woman with issue of blood. He's either looking to save you tonight, or He's looking to finally sanctify you, to finally have you totally His all to Himself. And that you do great things and terrible. For thy land, for thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever. The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer before thee. And now, O Lord God, is that just good or what? Is that just me? I just want to make sure. This is sounding pretty good about the God that I serve. I know it's been done to me, amen. Let that name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, God over Israel. Let the house of thy servant David be established forever. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. David knew what was done in him. 1 Kings, turn to your right a little further. 1 Kings chapter 3. Praise God, his son followed in his with some of his humility. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. What does the Bible say in verse number 5? 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. And Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. Number one, he knew what God did with his father. Amen. And he said, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Solomon understood that where he was at was because of God. He gave David what he asked for, but he said he was where he was at because of God. And he said, and now, verse 7, and now, O Lord my God, but he said, because of what you've done with me, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. No, I notice his humility. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. Now, can you imagine? That's pretty humble. He's a king, you know, over his place. He can be like, hey, I want y'all to know there's a new sheriff in town. That's what he used to say back in the old days. I'm running things now. He said, no, I know I'm the king. I know that a king, I know having a father. I understand that you did with me according to what you promised my father you would do. And I want you to know, Father, God, I'm just a little child. Before you, I have nothing. I don't know how to go out or to come in. He knew what was done to him, so it caused him to humble himself before God. Turn back to our text here. Number 3. We see that knowing what was done in her, she responded to the word of God. Knowing what was done in her, she humbled herself before God. And knowing what was done in her, number 3, she was simply honest before God. She was honest before God. In verse 33, we saw that she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. I wonder what your prayer life would be and what my prayer life would be. Next time I pray, next time I talk to the Lord, I just simply tell him where I'm really at. And I really just tell him all the truth about my heart's condition, My heart's desires, whatever it may be, but when I know, just really come in, Lord, here I am. Luke chapter 8, notice the Bible says here. We see there's a strength to have an honest heart before God. In Luke chapter 8, notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now she knew what was done in her. She responded to the word of God, humbled herself before Him, and she was true before God. She was honest before God. She came down and fell before Him and told Him all the truth, you know. And you know, like I was mentioning earlier, when you confront your unbelief with God in different situations, just like in Mark chapter 9, the father of the boy cried out with Jesus, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe that all things are possible to him that believeth. But somehow, some way, I'm looking at this situation, and Lord, you know my heart. You know there's something about me that has just a little bit of doubt that you really can do this. Help mine unbelief. He was honest before God. He wasn't trying to work himself up to pretend in the face of God like he was really totally, completely everything he needed to be. He said, I believe what you say, Lord. You wouldn't lie to me. You just told me all things are possible and to believe it. But for some reason, there's a part of me. There's something missing. I should take you at your word. I know. But you know my heart. You know there's something missing. Help my unbelief. You know what God did? You know what God did? What did he do? He helped him. He helped him. He simply asked for help, and God helped him, amen. What a great God. But Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Listen to the Bible, says, man. Go to God truthfully. Go to God truthfully. I have a little song I made up, but I'm in right out, right up and down, right? I'm tired and hurting. I feel like dirt. But still, I praise the Lord, amen. Be honest with God. I mean, sometimes you are tired and you're hurt. And you feel like dirt. Hey, but praise the Lord anyway, because it's the right thing to do. You know God, right? And you're letting situations of life overwhelm the praise of God. But just tell us, Lord, you know my heart. You know, I confessed to someone this week. I talked, what was it God was doing about? There's someone, I said, Lord, you know I love this morning. I love you. Would you help me, Lord? Please forgive me. I don't know why. I'm trying to give you all my heart. The part of my heart is in this area. God, would you help me? Instead of saying, Lord, oh, great Heavenly Father, you're not telling the truth, amen. We should tell the truth. Hebrews 10, verse 22. It said, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Oh, I know. It was one of my number one weaknesses, sports. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. True heart. Draw near, approach God with a true heart. See, God says, go ahead and come. But just be true about it. See, when we do, okay, we know something's in our heart that's not where it should be. But we forget about what's been done in us, and so we just keep the distance. I could never go to God like that. And we'll go with Him with truth. Go with Him with a true heart. Father, my heart's not where it needs to be, but I know that I'm supposed to come to you. And because of what you did in me, I want to come to you. But Father, you know there's a part of me that's still pulling that direction. Help me, Father. Help me to get with you where I need to be. The true heart. And verse 22, that's a good verse. If you look at you, you ought to meditate on the verse. He didn't say with a perfect heart. Now we should have a perfect heart. We should, in the Bible, there's all the verse in the Bible said we should have a pure heart. He didn't say that there. But he said, would you just draw near me with a true heart? Hey, you're lost right now. You can't go to God with a clean heart because you're a sin and you're a rebel against God right now. You're still living your own way, separated from God. But God said, will you just come to me with a true heart, with your heart and be honest that you know you're lost, you know you're undone, and come to me, believe on Christ. And he said, that's okay. He'll forgive you. Turn from you, trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, come to me with that true heart, and God will save you. I was talking to Christine before she got saved, and she said she just had to ask God to break her stubbornness. God, she was truthful with God. Come with a true heart. A true heart. You can do that if you know what's been done in you. Again, boss. Hey, there's only one person to tell you lost, and you know it. It's the Holy Ghost, amen. Because and you get frustrated, you can try to drown out me, you can try to drown anybody else that talks to you about God, but one day that light comes on, and the Holy Ghost says, you can say what you want to say, you can put your fingers in your ear, you can put anything in your life that you want to put in your life, but you know I love you, you know I've died for you, and you know I'm talking to you, you know that ye must be born again. And you know it. God did that in your heart, because He does not want you to die separated from Him and go to hell forever. And child of God, when something's been done in you, you can try to run from God. You can try to pursue anything that's other than God. You can use anything in your life as a comfort other than the Holy Ghost of God. But there's something that comes. If something's really been done in you, you recognize that voice. And then when you finally turn and humble yourself before God, and if you'll just come in with a true heart, Father, that's me you're talking to. Hey, and it's not always bad news. God, hey, when I was in that Quick Trip store, I don't know how I was when that guy came in and was telling me about God and telling about how he was training for the ministry. Somehow, some way, I knew God was calling me. And later, after I got saved, and I remember the Word of God in Galatians, the Holy Spirit of God said, yes, you are the one. For the very first night in Pastor Norwood's office, we just sat in his office talking about God, talking about church, because what was done in me, the voice of God said, Canada. Because what was done in me, I responded to the Word of God. I responded to the voice of God. I humbled myself and said, Lord, me? Are you sure? I do that a lot of Sundays. As I pray for your needs and I think about the touch of God, so I think about the lost people that come sometimes, the people I'm going to go witness to and visit, and the voice of God says, go and preach the gospel to every creature, and something says, me? Are you sure? Just be honest with God, and He can do with you what He wants to do with you. God may be calling you to something great. What would be a great call of God? Anything He asks you to do. Hey, to be a preacher of God, that's not great. Well, has God called you to do that? Whatever God has called you, that's the greatest thing that can ever be. Because God, being love, as He separated unto Himself, He knew what was best, the way to glorify Himself through you, and whatever His choice is for your life, that's the greatest thing that you could ever have. Be honest with Him. As He calls you, you might have to say, Lord, I know that's your voice. And Lord, I'm ashamed to say it, but I don't want your will right now. I know it's best for me, but Lord, you know my heart. I don't want your will for my life. Please help me, Father. Please remove. I heard what it said about David. David said, you're the only true God. There's no God beside you. I know that there's nothing. I know it here because your voice told me that your way is the only way that'll work. Everything else we vanity and empty and nothingness. I know it. Father, help me. Whatever it is. Last thing number four, back to our text. Knowing what was done in her, she responded to the Word of God. Knowing what was done in her, she humbled herself before God. No one was done in her, she was honest before God. The last thing, no one was done in her, her faith made a difference in her life. And this is the one, her faith made a difference in her life. Her faith. Her faith made a difference in her life. I should say it again. Her faith made a difference in her own life. Her faith made a difference in her own life. You catch it? Are you with me? All right, so just in case you were dozing off, I'll make sure everybody got it in between the doses, amen. Her faith made a difference in her own life. Why is that so vital? Because people today can't see the difference that faith makes in their life. Many people are excited about other people's faith, and think, man, that's great. People tell me all the time, I've told people my testimony when I'm witnessing, and said, hey, if it's working for you, that's good. I said, no, it works for everybody. I said, I told God it wrong. And he said, well, that's good for you. I said, no, it's not. That's good for everybody. He said, God has it for everyone. God has no respect to persons. But you know why her faith made a difference? Because she knew what was done in her. Knowing what was done in her. Notice what happened here. Jesus, when he speaks to her, as she fell down before and told him all the truth. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, thy faith. He didn't say my faith. He didn't say the disciples' faith. He said, thy faith that made thee whole. He didn't say thy faith got you cold. He said, thy faith made you whole. I should have broke down her faith, made her life complete or whole. That's what I said. Her faith made her life whole. That's what he told her. Her faith. Her faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I hope and I strive to be someone that walks with God. That's my desire. But nobody's life will affect your own life like your own faith. And God wants you to know what's been done in you, so you can reach out and touch Christ through the most impossible situation there is. Which, by the way, that's anything that's godly. Because we can't be godly in of ourselves. Everything's impossible. For with God, nothing. But with God, nothing should be impossible. With God, you have 12 years for complete failure. And everything will be all right. You can go to the wisest people the world has to offer and try to find help for your life. As the people do all the time. Every single day, somebody's asking some doctor, some counselor, so for some resolution to their life. They're asking some quote-unquote expert. People watch Dr. Phil. People watch Oprah. And all these different people that they want to get knowledge in that they think can help their life. And they spend their time, they spend their energy, they spend their money, and they don't get better, but they get worse. But God says, if you'll just come to me. So reach out. He said, ignore the failures. Ignore the people that gave you bad advice. He said, just remember what you heard about Jesus, because that's why I began with her, right? Remember that, because she had all this failure, but she heard of Jesus, amen. I don't know what she heard, but praise God, she heard it worked, amen. she heard enough about him to believe that, man, there's so much power in the Son of the living God that he didn't have to even speak the word over my condition. If I just reach through a crowd of people and touch his garment, I'll be made whole. Her faith made a difference in her life. You know, she knew, because she knew what was done to her, she could remain faithful. People fall away from church, we call it. And, you know, nobody really falls away from church. They fall away from God. You know why they do? Because they cannot see the difference that faith makes. But I tell you, if you know what's been done to you, even when you want to run, some says don't run. Because of what's been done in you. But this may surprise you, but sometimes I'm carnal. Sometimes I'm worldly. Sometimes I still want my own way. And sometimes I turn a direction that's not the direction that God wants for my life. But you know what? Knowing what was done in me, the Holy Spirit of God says, you know better. You know that won't work out. You know that does not glorify me. You know that's vanity. You know that won't work. And by the grace of God, it pulls and it weighs and it pulls until I fall down at his feet, knowing that he was talking to me. I said, God, I'm sorry. But why am I going against the very things that you taught me to teach other people? God, I'm sorry for thinking this way. But why did I ignore these solid biblical truths? God, refill my heart with you. And I just... And all of a sudden, the virtue comes out. And all of a sudden, my faith makes me whole. Her faith made a difference in her life. Because she knew what was done in her. And you say, well, but she had, you know what was done in her first? See, what was done in her first, before she reached out, she went from hopelessness to hope. The first thing was done in her, she was given hope. Now, because we may say, well, this is after she was healed. But no, what was done in her first was something said that, you know, I've been 12 years in condition. Everybody else has failed. But something was done in her heart that said, Jesus is the answer. And God, being the God that He is, just didn't have to stop what He's doing. Virtue went out. And the disciple, the people that walked closest with Christ, had no clue who Jesus was talking to. Don't be surprised if things happen in life that nobody understands but you and God. Because God has called us to have an individual, personal relationship with Him. That's the joy of the Christian life. There's some things I have discernment. Yes, and I can see certain things in life, but there's certain things in your life that only you. Remember, you don't need a man to teach you. The Holy Spirit does. You have the anointing if you're truly a child of God. Because I tell you, there's only one voice that's going to comfort you in the midnight hour. I can call and I can pray. I can do different things. And I've called different people sometimes. I have situations. But you know what? Every single time, they point me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got to hear from Him. There's times I've talked to brothers in Christ. I've talked to Brother Will sometimes. Broken heart in different situations. Crying because God broke my heart or something. I was trying to figure out direction. And He points me to Christ. And He can say some encouraging words. But the bottom line, every single time, is something that God said. That brings me up. He just pointed me to where it was at. You know what's been done in you. If you do, I encourage you to respond to God's voice. If you're lost tonight, you know that God's calling you, I encourage you to humble yourself before God. Stop running, stop fighting. Turn from yourself and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything else will go from there. Then you rise up knowing what's done in you, and you say, man, saved by the grace of God. If you're a child of God tonight, and you know what's been done in you, then God was dealing with you before you ever got here tonight. It's just time to respond. It's time to humble yourself before God and just say yes. And be true with Him. Just be honest with Him. Come with the truth, with a true heart. Tell Him the truth. Say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my whatever. Help my lack of love. Help my whatever it is. And as you rest in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything else just takes care of itself. God sees in faith. And you see your faith make a difference in your own life. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. If you want to say more, if you said no, thank you for being a wonderful